Bobby Orr. When God sees, scavengers congregate. And one such was Earl. And Earl wrote an article for Quest, read the greatest defenseman in hockey, Robert Gordon Orr. More precisely, Bobby Orr. And Earl entitled his article, Poor Bobby. What is the sound of no fans clapping? And the god was no longer a vision of beauty to be worshipped, but was now fair game. And Earl said, Bobby, I want to go to Boston, and I want to go to your house, and I want to travel with you. And Bobby Orr said, you can't come to my home, and you can't travel with me. And Earl said, Bobby Orr's face reddened, and his voice seethed. And loaded verbiage is part of a journalist's arsenal. And seethed and reddened characterize a voice and a face, and not a journalist's intelligence and sensibility. And Bobby Orr said, what is it you're after? What is this? There's no story. I'm working for Nabisco. I'm a businessman. And the god, who excelled, but whose forte was not language, endeavored to convey to the journalist that the story was finished, that he wanted to live without a story. And Earl initiated his quest with Bobby Orr's lawyer. And the lawyer said, no shots, Earl. Shots? Nothing negative, Earl. And Earl, who had lived on the periphery for 22 years and wrote articles for magazines and newspapers and was a man of the media, did not know what shots were. And Earl talked about Bobby Orr's new job for Nabisco and Bobby Orr's film about violence that was funded by Nabisco. And Earl says the film shows Bobby Orr talking to children. And the children say hockey isn't fun because parents and coaches yell and there is too much hurting. And the god says hockey should be fun for children. And that violence is foolishness. The goon stuff, we have to get rid of it. I call it foolishness. And the god says hockey is a game and should be fun, but for kids, it is not fun, and that's a mistake. And Bobby Orr talks about the rot in minor hockey, the penchant for violence, and the all-inclusive emphasis on winning, and parents pushing children. And Earl points out that Bobby Orr was a natural star and never had to be pushed, and Earl italicizes had. And Earl says that Bobby Orr fails to mention that his own team in the National Hockey League, the Boston Bruins, were known for bully tactics and fistic prowess, hence their sobriquet, the Big Bad Bruins. And Earl is not preoccupied with the god's idiosyncratic obsession with violence. Though Bobby Orr is equivalent at left wing, the post-lapsarian Bobby Hull alluded to same re his Swedish teammate Bent Nielsen. And Bobby Hull said the destruction of Nielsen was purposeful because owners permitted and coaches instructed and players acquiesced and referees turned the other cheek. And once Bobby Hull refused to play hockey for 3 days and everyone said he was a jerk. And Bobby Hull said Nielsen played with such joy. He had never met a comparable player. No one else had his joy, and he was exalted, and there was grace and artistry. And Bobby Hull said he was ashamed to be a Canadian. And Bobby Hull said he was ashamed to be human. And Bobby Hull's article about violence was not taken up by the media. And the goaltender, Ken Dryden, wrote a book about hockey that he entitled The Game. And the long chapter in which he discussed the media was deleted. because Ken Dryden and his publisher are not fools, and they know that you do not criticize the media if you want to be praised, i.e., if you want your book to be commercially viable, i.e., a bestseller. And Bobby Orr's equivalent at center, the prelapsarian Wayne Gretzky, cries on airplanes, and on Canadian flights stays in the cockpit to simulate control. But this is not talked about in the media, because superstars are flawless. And Wayne Gretzky says he'll retire at 30. And he has a special bodyguard, the enforcer Semenko, the doyen of goons. But Earl knows that there are no bodyguards when the clapping stops. And Earl knows that gods can be talked about in the media when the clapping stops. And Earl says the qualities that made Bobby Orr the world's finest in the arena hurt Bobby Orr in business. And Earl says the state of the art in business is procrastination and compromise, is adjustment and compromise. And Earl does not mince words. And Earl says that unlike the other denizens of our society, Bobby Orr has problems and is maladjusted. And Bobby Orr baited a journeyman hockey player, Hilliard Graves, in the Rusty Scupper bar. And Hilliard Graves said, "I'm not Bobby Orr. I have to play this way to make it in the National Hockey League." And Bobby Orr said, "If you hip check guys, it damages their knees." And Bobby Orr told Hilliard Graves what he would like to do to him. And Hilliard Graves said, "I'll take your other knee off." And there was a brawl. And afterwards, Bobby Orr went to the men's. And the god said, "I'm frustrated," and apologized. Because Hilliard Graves per se was not the issue. But there had been so many Hilliard Graves. And all the residual Hilliard Graves and hip checks, etc., and thuggery, etc., had sullied the vision and stopped all the beauty. And the god apologized and shook hands with the journeyman, who knew without knowing. But Earl is oblivious and continues to dish it out. And to Bobby Orr, Earl McRae is a yahoo and a pain in the bum, because of the greater pain.